That's Uptown Funk, as heard on the loudspeakers at a high school gym, Whitmer High School, when five teachers interrupted the homecoming game and got out on the floor to funk it up. The crowd goes wild, especially once a dozen more teachers run out to join the dance routine. And then the principal, coat and tie, busting some great moves, and people from the stands start to pack the floor just because they can. I'm Michael Goldberg. Stay tuned for Stay Human. Think of flash mob as one of the beauties of the digital age, people taking over a public space unannounced and turning it into a spectacle or a celebration, making it a different kind of place altogether. For the students at Whitmer High School, just seeing their teachers in the gym not acting like teachers, shaking it and bringing on the funk, it's so wildly unexpected that it must have opened up a whole new vista of what's possible. Music and dance, street corner theater, festivals, or flash mobs, anytime people get a chance to see familiar things in a new way, well, we should take that chance and make more chances. I saw a mural down in Minneapolis not long ago, a brick wall on the parking lot of the 4th Street Saloon in North Minneapolis. You see it getting off the freeway, everything all ugly concrete and corporate logos, except this flash of exuberance, jazz grates against the sky, wailing, full moon over the skyline. It makes you feel like you've gotten somewhere, you know, somewhere with humans in it. Not restricted to lanes of traffic and keeping our heads down, that there's life and spirit and music in the air. There's another mural not far from there, also featuring the Minneapolis skyline, also turning a parking lot into a surprise. This one says on the bottom, "You are an artist. Life is your canvas." I think I can dig that, sort of, but I don't actually believe that it's true. I mean, yeah, life can be, should be, a work of art, but I feel like I'm the canvas, not the artist. Today on Stay Human, we'll be talking with some real artists who bring it out into the world with public art, creative placemaking, immersive installations. They've got a lot of names for it, but it always comes down to discovering, together, the art of possibility.
Anyone can whistle. that's what they say. Easy. Anyone can whistle any old day. Easy. It's all so simple. Relax, let go, let fly. So someone tell me why can't I? I can dance a tango. I can read Greek. Easy. I can slay a dragon any old week. Easy. What's hard is simple. What's natural comes hard. Maybe you could show me how to let go, lower my guard, learn to be free. Maybe if you whistle, whistle for me. Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Being alive. Somebody need me too much. Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused. Mock me with praise. Let me be used. Vary my days. But alone is alone. Not alone.
Sutton Foster with a couple of beautiful arrangements of Stephen Sondheim songs. Next week, Sondheim is going to be presented in Grand Rapids by the Grand Rapids Players, the musical thriller Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. And the Grand Rapids Players are also presenting an outdoor theater game the last weekend of September along the Mississippi River here in Grand Rapids. Everyone's invited to be part of this show, this game. We'll hear more about the production called Aquanesia later in this hour. But for now, here's a message from the future.
In the year 2118, we all know how hot, wet, and stormy the weather has become. Temperatures have risen, and so have the floodwaters. Our infrastructure is frequently overwhelmed by megastorms, which keep us up late at night and prevent us from going to work the following day. Yet, never fear. Despite the climate chaos, we in Grand Rapids remain active and optimistic. With disaster as our common bond, we rise to the challenge of keeping our cherished city above water. Even with recent rumors that many in our community are experiencing sudden and unexplainable memory loss, we, the Citizen Cleanup Brigade, remain undaunted by this so-called Aquanesia. Sign up for the Citizen Cleanup Brigade today and help our city remain unshaken by the storms. CCB volunteers are outfitted with the most advanced gear guaranteed to protect you from the many dangers of stagnant water, including flying Asian carp and the dreaded bite of the monster mosquito. Those with extraordinary memory, bravery, and sense of adventure may also have the opportunity of taking on special assignments. Bestway Conglomerated and Interplanetary Industries Incorporated is a proud sponsor of the Citizen Cleanup Brigade and would like to thank all of its CCB volunteers over the past 80 years, because pulling together after the storm really is the best way. Again, in case you just experienced a memory lapse and forgot the earlier part of this message, sign up for Citizen Cleanup Brigade today to save our city from losing its past and its future to Aquanesia.
More about Aquanesia coming up later in this hour. The event itself is the last weekend of September. Here's a song from Brian Hurst. Northern Community Radio, KAXE-KBXE, supported by its listener members. My name is Michael Goldberg. I'm a volunteer here. It's my privilege to share words and music for spirit and courage each week on Stay Human. This and other local productions receive support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. KAXE-KBXE produces a lot of radio about the arts and the artists of northern Minnesota. It includes the reviews and news of the local art scene from Steve Downing, heard regularly on The Morning Show. I asked him recently what he could tell me about the public in public art.
I'm looking at the results of an online survey conducted last year by Grand Rapids Arts, a local nonprofit consortium of arts organizations. The goal was to find out what people really think about the notion of public art? Question 1. Do you think public art enhances your community? Of 256 respondents, 249 said yes, public art does enhance the community. 7 said no. That last number, 7, freaks me out. Hardly anything freaks me out. Question 2. Which of these impacts of public art do you think benefit your community? And then there was a list of well-documented, proven benefits: economic development, quality of life, promotion of local artists, public awareness of art. Again, the vast preponderance of respondents checked either all of the above or a bunch of the above. 5 people said none of the above. Art has no beneficial impact on the community. Deep breath. Question 3 asked, what public art in Grand Rapids you're familiar with? And then there were a dozen examples listed. Given the structure of the question, there wasn't a way to say you were aware of 0 public art pieces or opportunities. The question assumes that if you're awake and taking nourishment, and your vision is good enough that they haven't revoked your driver's license yet, you will see public art. Question 4. Are you in favor of more public art in the community? 3 respondents said no. Notice the trajectory of the negative, the funnel of no, from 7 to 5 to 3. Maybe something about actually doing the survey brings you around, sort of. Question 5. How would you like to be involved with public art? And then there were prompts. Donate money or time, attend events, serve on a board, sign up for classes, and so on. Close to 200 folks expressed some interest in doing something. Just over 50 didn't bother to answer the question, but we don't know why. No doubt, already overbooked lives was an important consideration. Some of us just like to be there. Back to my freakout. How could anyone conclude that public art doesn't do anything good for a community and there's already enough of it? Answers occur to me, but they all involve uncharitable opinions and would make for terrible radio. I'm stopping me before I get there. Public art, whether it's visual or performance, functional or fanciful, or both, as it frequently is about connections. Connections between and among art, people, and place. And it has been transformative since the first moments of recorded history. It often addresses either timely or timeless social issues. It humanizes and democratizes our communal spaces. It's a conversation about shared quality of life. And it isn't just a conversation about art. It's about access, diversity, equity. Public art tells a story about your community. Write this down. Your community is a gallery. Be there.
Thanks to Steve Downing for that. Among his many achievements and contributions to the general good, he was a past director of the McCroskey Arts Center here in Grand Rapids. I thought I might get another take on the local art scene by talking to the MAC's current director, Katie Marshall. I moved to Grand Rapids in 1978, and it was a mill town.
Yes.
The only art that I knew about was a nonprofit called the Itasca Art Association, which was a group of local folks who liked to paint, most of them without any, you know, professional ambition. Mm-hmm. They had space on the top floor of the central school, and they used the elevator a lot because a lot of them were older. And it seems to me, 40 years later, this town has changed.
Yes, it has changed a lot. I think even in the last, I mean, even from when I was growing up, which wasn't 40 years ago, but it's getting close. Well, Itasca Art Association, of course, became McCroskey Art Center. I think a lot of the change, I mean, there have been a lot of arts organizations that have now been around for 30, 40, 50 years and have sort of become more of a part of the fabric of the community. So the Rife Center and the Itasca Orchestra and Strings Program has been around for several decades by now. And the Grand Rapids Players have been around for over 50 years now, too. And KXC's over 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think having that, those sort of institutions that are just, that just come to be almost expected and, you know, sometimes taken for granted, but having that out there keeps art in people's consciousness more, and just kind of, you can't help but bump into it from time to time. And then I think also investment in the infrastructure too, because I was just thinking when you're describing the Itasca Art Association being up on the top floor of Central School, well, we became McCroskey Art Center after Ruth McCroskey donated a large building on First Avenue to us, and that's where we got our permanent home. And so having that sort of visible street front property also really helps to sort of elevate the presence of the arts in the community, I think. You just get a lot more exposure that way. Well, I think that's the same thing with public art, too, is just that you just happen upon it. You don't have to seek it out to experience art.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids Arts formed a little bit before I started at McCroskey, so the early 2000s, and that's a collaborative of local arts organizations that all work together to think about ways that we can jointly market the arts and connect people to arts experiences. And then 5 or so years ago, the city established their Arts and Culture Commission. So,
is that unusual for a town this size?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure there are other examples, but I think for a town of our size to have taken those steps and not only have an Arts and Culture Commission, but we have an Arts and Culture Roadmap, and it's part of the city's comprehensive plan, and that's a pretty concrete step towards saying that we think art is important, and these are the ways that we're going to sort of invest our time and resources in that. Sometimes art can bring people together. I mean, the obvious examples of things like art openings or art events that bring encourage people to actually come together physically and experience greater community. That happens all the time in Grand Rapids, and I think we're really lucky. People feel like we have a really vibrant arts community for a town our size, and I think that's something that draws a lot of people here when they're looking at a place to make their life. And it keeps people here too, like myself. There are quite a number of professional artists of all disciplines who choose to live and work in northern Minnesota and all sorts of rural places. Every couple of years, there's an event called the Rural Arts and Culture Summit, which is really fun because it's great to get together with other people who are making art and being creative in rural places, because I think there's always this idea that art happens in cities, and that's certainly not the case. So we know lots of people who are making amazing art out in the sticks, and so having spaces like McCroskey and other arts organizations where people that are maybe a little more geographically isolated can come together, I think is really important too for creating a sense of community in rural places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grand Rapids really has changed, and we've probably got it locked. There's probably not much more we can do, right?
Oh, there's always more we can do. Don't get me started. Yes, well, one of my problems is that I can never stop thinking of ideas of other things that we can do related to art and community, and it gets me in over my head sometimes and with a pretty big workload, but I've been thinking a lot about it's been fun to see the city developing their public art plan, and so they received some funding from the Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, IRRR, to use public art to help enliven the downtown. And so through that, they're also looking at a plan for placement of public art, so it's not just sort of a haphazard thing that happens, but it's really intentional about where could art do the most good in a public place in the community. So it's been fun to see that in development, and it's got me thinking about other things that could happen through the city and the Arts and Culture Commission. It's been great to have the Artist in Residence program up on the third floor of Central School. That's something that the city and the Arts and Culture Commission support. And I was thinking how it would be fantastic to have an actual public artist employed by the city or some combination of entities whose responsibility was to find ways to get art out into the community in different ways. So that could be public art. It could be opportunities for artists to exhibit in local businesses and organizations. Lots of different things, but I think that would be a really great next step for our community in terms of showing how we invest in the arts and what the arts can do for a town like Grand Rapids. Ideas. I always have a lot of ideas, and when I can bring a few of them together and they start to click and I can see the grant proposal laid out before me, it writes itself. That's when I get, connecting ideas, and there's a lot of ways that can happen with the arts, and you never quite know where it's going to turn up, but that's when I get really excited, and that's when I get myself in trouble, because I write grant proposals, and then I have to do the project.
The sky is not the limit, so let's not just aim high. No, you don't have to see it. The chances are, the chance may pass you by. So reach beyond the heavens, no winging on a prayer. It's time to mark my path, I hope that you come too. No more waiting around for someone else to show me what to do. Or keep on dreaming. I'm not talking about change. The time to go on our own. No more wish upon a star.
Sky is not the limit, at least not for the artists among us. On today's show, we're thinking about how art makes things possible and visiting with some public artists. Aaron Squadroni is an architect, a sculptor, and a creator of outdoor art installations. About 7 years ago, he moved up here from the Twin Cities to Coleraine, where he now lives. I asked him if being on the Iron Range has influenced his work.
The places in the area have inspired my art since I've been up here. So, for instance, there's obviously an abundance of natural beauty in the area, but also mining. A lot of my artwork has been focused on mining themes. It started out with sort of me biking and running. I do a lot of running and just finding interesting areas in the abandoned mines, finding old machinery and being interested by the kind of the scale of everything, the kind of the impact of the just the red earth and the size and the scale of all of it, I thought was inspiring. So I was doing work on that, and it's sort of grown from there, but I've still been focused on mining quite a bit with my artwork. I've been trying to do, I would say, one or two major public art pieces a year. And so far, I've tried to design and make the work. I'm moving a little bit more into finding fabricators to do some of it with the bigger projects now. I've done a range of things. Some of it has been temporary, more installation-based work, and some of it has been permanent sculptures. I did a sculpture for the Coleraine Library that's out front. Done work with Chisholm. I'm working on a sculpture right now in Chisholm that's going to go in the Kiwanis Park by the lake. And I'm doing a couple other things right now too that are sculpture-based public art pieces. I'm working on designing these huge metal panels that will be plasma cut or laser cut, and they'll be on the new St. Louis County Government Center building in Virginia. So I'm excited about that, because those will be pretty large scale, and it should be should have a nice effect with the building. They're using a lot of rusted steel, Corten steel in the building, and that's what these panels are going to be. So yeah, I think for me, the thing that I always come back to is that artists help people see the world in a new way. I think that's one of the best things that artists do. They either take something that's overlooked and bring attention to it, or they take something that you sort of take for granted or that you make an assumption about in your daily life, and they represent it to you in a new way that makes it interesting, but also helps you think differently about it. I think of it as kind of creating new metaphors almost. You know, a metaphor can totally change the way you think about something and change the way you see the world in some cases. The metaphor that I think is a powerful example is extremely simple. The Buddhist metaphor of many being one. One example would be thinking about the hand as a series of fingers, five fingers, but also that it's this single unit as well. And for me, I like to aspire to creating new metaphors with the public art that I do. For example, I'm interested in taking the materials of the Iron Range when I'm doing work for the communities that are on the Iron Range. I'm interested in taking those materials that already have a really strong embedded meaning to them, that the community sort of, you know, they look at a mine rock and they think this and this and this. Taking those and kind of using them in a unique or unfamiliar way, and changing the way people think about them. I originally got into the art shanties, ice houses project right out of grad school, and I was basically looking to try out some architectural ideas in a small, you know, a smaller project where I could have get some money to, you know, pay for the materials and whatnot. And my friend and I had a number of friends from grad school. I still do work with them, where we try to do competitions and do more experimental architecture sort of on our side time. And so for me, the art shanties made a lot of sense, because they were a nice combination of art and architecture and doing some building, but also doing things that were more experimental and engaging with people. It's nice to make architecture that a lot of people use versus, you know, a lot of times you end up doing homes for people, which is great, but there's not necessarily that many people experiencing that building. And I thought for me, the Art Shanty experience was sort of the first major public art that I did. And it was a really helpful segue into doing more public art professionally, partially because there were so many people that interacted with it. You got to see pretty fast what ideas worked and what ideas didn't, and where things needed to be more practical, you know, which things really excited people. The Art Shanty, just to give you a basic gist of what's going on, is there's maybe 20 some houses that are all put out on the lake. When I was doing it, it was White Bear Lake one year and Lake Independence maybe the other year. And then it stays out there for about a month. And I think they usually have about 10,000 people that come through the, if you count all the weekends of attendance. And there's crazy stuff happening. Like there's usually someone that designs all these bikes that have maybe the front tires taken off, and there's a ski there, or there's a skate there. So there's people kind of dressed in crazy costumes. They have an art car parade. It's that kind of thing where it's very kid friendly, but you know, you see a lot of creative folks. One year I made a building called a solar arc, which basically allowed people to play with prisms that were put in the roof, and you could move them around kind of like a light bright toy, but on a big scale. And then inside the building, it was just hammocks. So people would lay and gaze up at that roof design.
I consider this completely inappropriate behavior.
Thanks to Aaron Squadroni for sharing that and for his work and for helping us all to stay human.
Let's hear the horns now. Thank you.
Step the fuck up at the hurry.
much fun.
Hey, Princess, song's over.
Boxing Gandhi is on KAXE-KBXE. I mentioned earlier that this community radio service works to provide a lot of coverage of the local arts, but it's also true that our studios are covered with art. Paintings and prints, drawings, photographs, batiks, stained glass, even furniture made by local artists and giving off a good vibe the moment you walk in the door. Come and visit us sometime in downtown Bemidji and next to the Grand Rapids Public Library on the Mississippi River. I was showing off the station's artworks recently to Donald Thomas when he came by the studios. He's the artistic director for Aquanesia, a new game, an outdoor participatory production that will be in town Saturday and Sunday, September 29th and 30th. The event takes place on the river outside KAXE Studios and just downstream in Veterans Memorial Park. I asked Donald about making art for the river environment.
I live on the Mississippi, and I visit the Mississippi often, and there's a forest that's right next to the Mississippi in St. Paul that changed my life in terms of how I felt in my own body. And so it was very meaningful to see how Grand Rapids connects with the water, and it was these intersections of wild nature mixed with the history of logging, mixed with this beautiful map of the Mississippi River that is right here next to the station. And in terms of how that connected me to the game is I have to design a map for this game that everyone's going to look at. And I'm like, how do I connect folks to this map in a personal way that doesn't make it seem like it's distance from their actual experience of living and growing up in Grand Rapids? I've never seen a map of just the Mississippi before, and it's so big that I have to do a panoramic shot on my phone just to capture the whole map. And it immediately grounded me in the idea of, oh, this is the Mississippi where we live, and everyone that's on the Mississippi shares this home. And it really grounded me in that. And so that made me really excited to go, wow, how can I bring the water lessons that I've learned in St. Paul and Minneapolis and because I've done an entire weave of where the Minnesota connects to the Mississippi. It was about an 8 foot by 16 foot art installation of nail and string of just the Mississippi. And for me, that was a big piece about home. How can I bring that energy to another part of the Mississippi through this project? So being here and connecting with the water here and connecting with the land and seeing the history of how the water has been shaped and how that's going to really affect realistically imagine what that really means for the next 100 years it's really been like eye opening, heart opening. And it's very exciting to be able to bring more art focused on what water really is for us to a place like Grand Rapids. For me, the idea of connecting to what is human is deeply connecting to the imagination. And I really love to be in spaces where people are asking me to imagine something different that I would have never imagined. And it can be very, very difficult in these times to imagine something different with how real everything is around us. And so it's easy to focus on what is collapsing, especially in nature, with what's happening with water, algae blooms, what's happening with the weather. And it's great to imagine what we do want versus what we don't want. And I feel like immersive art experiences are places where you have an opportunity to ask folks to imagine what it is that they do want to see or to imagine themselves as artists. And one of the main focuses of the Million Artist Movement is to say to every single person that you're an artist, because that's the belief, is that everyone is an artist. So for me, connecting to that human that humanness in the immersive space is really saying, how can we engage the possibilities through imagination? And it's also connected to Adrienne Marie Brown's emergent strategy in term of really imagining those possibilities in groups and coming together to say, that's a great thing that we imagined. How can we actually make that happen? And I feel like art installation and art, any art period, is that a possibility to say, wow, if this can be possible, I can do this too. There's something else that I can imagine. Yeah.
That's Donald Thomas. More on Aquanesia coming up. But first, we have this from Abney Park. Tape 5 with Fix the Boat or Swim. On the last weekend in September, you're invited to Aquanesia. This is something that's going to be really unusual. I'm looking forward to it. It's sponsored by northernlights.mn and the Miles Rife Center and the Grand Rapids Players and the Itasca Water Legacy Partnership. The project's writer and performance director, L. Tony, stopped in at our studios recently to tell us more about it.
This is a brand new game. It will be played for the first time in Grand Rapids in late September, and so we're really excited to get it on its feet and to see what folks' response is to it.
So you say it's a game. What do you mean, a game?
Well, it is an outdoor mystery bicycle game. So you show up on the day of with a group of friends or a family, and you are enrolled in this world of the future that is immersive, that is adventuresome. So instead of just sitting there and watching a performance or staring at a screen, you are really out there, you're really active on a fall afternoon, enjoying the beautiful weather, hopefully, and also all of these beautiful sights along the river here in Grand Rapids. And so if you like miniature golf, if you like frisbee, if you like those types of outdoor games, all of those will be folded in some way or another. So you'll get a playful workout, but you'll also get a brain workout too with this really fun story that weaves it all together.
So will I be like playing a role? Will I have who am I in this game?
For this game, you will be a member of the Citizen Cleanup Brigade, which is a band of citizens who live in Grand Rapids in the year 2118, who come together and pitch in to make sure that all of these extreme storms that the city is experiencing now don't get the city down. Just like in the world of the present, there are these civic challenges that we encounter. And instead of taking a real post-apocalyptic bent with it, we just look to what we see now in community, which is people turning to one another and helping each other out. There's a lot of narrative floating around right now that say, you know, people are against each other. And that's when you get down to like a real community level. You know, we see a lot of the opposite. We see a lot of people caring for one another. So that's a narrative that we wanted to uplift with this game. And so you're there as a Citizen Cleanup Brigade member to help save the city from this storm. But then it becomes even larger than that. And you're asked to help save the city from this mysterious ailment called aquanesia. After these extreme storms, people have been noticing more and more community members are losing their memories, just completely gone. Very sudden. People are very disoriented. They're very forgetful. They're having a hard time remembering critical moments in their life, critical information. They're having a hard time imagining a future for themselves. And so it really affects total experience. And right now, it's so new that people don't know what it is. There's just these rumors flying around of what could this be, this aquanesia. And so that is part of what you set out on as a member of the Citizen Cleanup Brigade, is to really dive in to what this is and what is causing it and how it can be cured.
How long does it take to play it?
It takes about 2 hours to play the game. It really depends on how fast you bike or walk, if that's your choice, and you know, how much you want to linger at each of the activities.
Should we bring kids?
You can bring kids. Yep, absolutely. It's a game that's not designed specifically for kids. It's designed for all ages, but it does involve a lot of play.
So come on out and play. That's September 29th and 30th outside the Grand Rapids Public Library and KXE Studios. Walk or bike to the game's conclusion at the Veterans Memorial Park just downstream. For more details and to register, search Aquanesia Grand Rapids. That's AQUANESIA. Register in advance to set your own start time. I hope I'll see you there. I'm Michael Goldberg. Thanks for joining me today for Stay Human. And thanks to Steve Downing, Katie Marshall, Aaron Squadroni, Donald Thomas, and L. Tony for helping me to think about public art and the immersive art experience. Here's L. Tony again telling us about why she does what she does.
Really, for me, immersive art is just creating places of possibility. There are so many spaces that we inhabit in the day-to-day that have very specific uses. Like right now, we're in a room that's just designed for recording radio spots, and even the rooms that are in our house are named for very specific uses, bathrooms, bedrooms. But one thing that is really, really lovely about being an artist working in outdoor spaces is that the outdoors have always been a place of possibility. And so it feels really natural to be working in those spaces as an artist and to not just be thinking about one dimension of art, seeing something on a wall, but to really be thinking about the total experience. I firmly and fervently believe that art's work is soul work, and that it is a necessary service and a necessary journey for everybody as humans here on Earth, is to really see what are the outer limits of this existence? What are the places of possibility within this finite experience of being alive? And, you know, artists are just people that won't let up on those questions and that invite other people to really sit in those questions as well. When we're outdoors, when we're immersive, you know, we're really acknowledging, like, this thing, it has outer limits that reach beyond, you know, what even we can conceive as artists. You know, Donald spoke about this beautiful balloon that hovered like two stories up to represent the moon. Well, that was mirrored by the actual moon up in space. And so, you know, when you work in the outdoors, you are collaborating with everything that is outdoors and collaborating with so much else in existence too. And I think, you know, when people enter these spaces, then they're invited to be collaborators as well with everything out in the world. And we hope that the infiniteness of those experiences really hits people in the ways that they need for their own personal soul journeys.